booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Happy Friday, 6 minutes after five. This is the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano.
Hi, Frank. How are you?
I'm great. How are
you? Happy Friday to you as well. I'm Juliet Huddy. Deb is following, as you heard, breaking news on the news desk. Christian and Gabby are at the controls. Sid is here with sports at 5:15, and we'll have a couple of laughs in between. Here is what you're going to be talking about around the water cooler today. We're still not on the vaccine eligibility list, many of us, and we're definitely wondering, well, when is that going to happen? Well, we have some good news. Wonder no more. Also, Frank, I am so happy about this story, and it's really not getting a lot of headlines. There's a new drug out there that has been tested, and they actually stopped the test because it is going so well. It could treat COVID. How soon could it be used here in the U.S.? Mm. There is an active effort to get emergency approval to start using this drug. It is a very, very cool story. So we'll talk about that. Also, your Jet Set Juliet travel update, couple really cool stories, including a stunning underwater sculpture park.
Wow.
Yes, that you can visit. You don't even have to be a scuba diver to do it.
Wow.
Yes, that's and that's coming up at 5:40.
We have a pretty important guest today, too.
We do. Steve Kastenbaum, who you guys have probably heard if you listen to the radio. You've heard him on CNN radio. You've heard him on local radio, Westwood One. And he's going to be joining us to talk about his new podcast, New York Gritty, where he asks the question, can New York make a comeback? We've seen the mass exodus. We've heard people say, people who love the city say, it's never going to be able to come back. He asks the question, can it? And he focuses on this week's podcast on the taxi folks. Guys and women who have really suffered because of the pandemic and other things.
Yeah, they were not at all happy with Mayor de Blasio's rescue plan for them. I'm looking forward to talking with Steve about that. And I'm looking forward to talking with Joe Nolan and finding out what the commute is like on the way to work with traffic and transit on the 7s. Hello, Joe.
Well, good morning, everybody. As you start to head northbound on the Bruckner Expressway, apparently an accident up by the drawbridge. They are working on that. Inbound Lincoln, Holland, George, all three moving right along without any kind of a problem. Same thing in New Jersey on the Turnpike, the Parkway 1922, that outer roadway on the Turnpike, shut for the road work. Other than that, though, we are in very good shape as we get started here this morning, even on the LI in the northern state and alternate side of the street. Parking rules again today are going to be in effect. This report, service of Dell Technologies. Dell's semi-annual sale for business has arrived. Enjoy specials on Dell docks, monitors, and servers, plus up to 45% off the latest Dell business computers powered by Intel Core processors. So call 877-ASK-DELL. Speak with a Dell Technologies advisor. That's 877-ASK-DELL. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
All right. From your Ramsey Subaru Weather Center, excuse me, we had a gorgeous day yesterday. I don't know if you guys did here in the city, but out in Huntington, it was wonderful.
Lovely.
I took Winnie for a walk at Heckscher Park. It was fantastic. I tired her out, which is always nice because she's a very hyper little puppy. But today we're going to have somewhat of a repeat. We're going to start off with some light rain, probably during the commute, so be careful. But then it's going to clear the way, and we'll have a mix of sun and clouds by the afternoon and a high of 64 degrees. Tonight, clear skies, a low of 34 degrees. And then tomorrow, Saturday, a nice sunny day, just lots of sun, no clouds, 50 degrees, although we will have some light winds. Sunday, same thing, although some gusty winds on Sunday, but we'll have a little bit warmer temperature, 52 degrees, mostly sunny skies. Monday, again, sunny skies, but down to the 40s. Tuesday, we could see some PM rain or snow, however. So that is unfortunate, but let's at least enjoy the next few days.
Absolutely.
Because we've got a nice couple of days ahead of us. 61 degrees right now in Manhattan and some light rain.
All right. Well, whatever people think of the American Rescue Plan, New York City is expecting a big, big boost. Mayor de Blasio said the city will be getting $6 billion in direct aid, while the MTA will get a bailout totaling more than $6 billion. New York City small Small Business Services says restaurateurs will have access to more than $28 billion in federal aid. The department is hopeful the funding will help keep businesses open and save jobs.
Well, speaking of that big speech last night by President Biden, I think the headline for me was that anybody who wants a vaccine will be able to get one, he says, by May 1st, which is far ahead of what our initial theories
were. Well, he said they'll be able to sign up.
Right. Yeah. But you, yes, exactly. Yes. Thank you for clarifying that. In the meantime, the big speech leaving folks feeling conflicted. Of course, it always breaks down by party, it seems. Here are some of the highlights or lowlights, depending on how you look at it. He pushed hope and optimism, saying there is light at the end of the tunnel, essentially, and better days ahead. Easter Sunday 2020 wasn't realistic, as Trump promised it would be, but a July 4th, where we can barbecue and be with family and friends is. He said truth matters. He promises to be straight, and he promises to follow the science. And he clearly drew a line in the sand when it came to empathy, not ignoring the reality of the number of dead, but focusing on remembering those who we lost and learning lessons so that we don't repeat our mistakes, which leads to the number one standout. Without naming names, he made it very clear the blame is on his predecessor, suggesting we could have done better, not only with handling the pandemic, but also with the rollout of the vaccines.
All right. Well, quite a bit happening here in New York. The New York State Assembly and Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie are setting up a committee to begin an impeachment investigation of Governor Cuomo. There are now six, count them, six women who accuse Cuomo of sexual harassment in Albany. 42 of 63 state senators, bipartisan, are now calling for Cuomo to step down, along with dozens of assembly members. Now, this committee that Speaker Hastie is setting up will have subpoena power. They're going to conduct interviews and review documents. It will then decide whether impeachment should be voted on. I want to point out, this is in addition to the Attorney General Letitia James' independent investigation. And on top of both of those probes, the Albany police are now probing the allegations from this sixth accuser, in which Governor Cuomo is purported to have put his hand underneath the blouse of one of his aides last year.
All right. An indictment is coming down in just a matter of days. That is the word from John Dean. Remember that name? His testimony helped take down President Nixon. Only this time he is referring to President Trump. Dean pointing to the fact that Trump's ex-fixer, Michael Cohen, met yet again with Manhattan DA. This is his seventh interview. Dean writing via Twitter, from personal experience as a key witness, I assure you that you do not visit a prosecutor's office seven times if they're not planning to indict those about whom you have knowledge. So we see, we'll see, he says, in the next couple of days. I mean, he seems to be pretty confident about that.
Well, it's going to be very interesting to see if John Dean is right about that. All right. Well, more than 2.5 million doses of the coronavirus vaccine have been distributed throughout New York City. Mayor de Blasio says he's expecting that number to increase as supply ramps up and city prepares to welcome more than 100 federally funded clinics. It comes as the city opens up more appointments at two clinics in Queens, which are offering the first dose of the Pfizer vaccine. Meanwhile, the city's mobilizing teams to use the Johnson & Johnson single dose shot to vaccinate homebound residents.
All right. You can take this person out of New York City, but you can't take New York City out of them. I will tell you who after we come back from the break and Sid's up with sports.
This is the WABC Early News.
All righty.
5:15, time for sports with Sid Rosenberg. Hello there, Sid. Happy Friday.
Friday, Frank and Juliet. Good morning to both of you. We'll start with the basketball. It was back last night after the NBA All-Star break. The Brooklyn Nets, man, they are on fire. They blew out the Boston Celtics 121-109.
Yeah.
Nets improved to 25-13. They remain a half game behind Philadelphia inside the Eastern Conference. But Kyrie Irving has been red hot. And he put in 40 last night against his former teammates in Boston. Here was Irving talking about playing against his former team.
Games like this in the middle of the season where you go against guys that you've known well, and you know, it's always a blessing. And I'm always happy for those guys, and you know, I want to see them do well. And when we're playing against each other, we're just going to leave it out there on the floor.
No Kevin Durant, no Blake Griffin, no problem. The Knickerbockers, who were they? They're 19-19. Certain nights they look great. Last night they lost by 33 to the Milwaukee Bucks, 134-101. Again, voting the question, who are the real New York Knicks? NHL last night, bad night for the Rangers. They lose again. They've now dropped three in a row, 5-0 to the Boston Bruins, a team they're trying to catch for that last playoff spot inside the Eastern Division. As for the Islanders, they win every night, folks. They win again, beat the Devils 5-3. Big East tournament action yesterday. It was Georgetown with a huge win over Villanova. Patrick Ewing, they don't recognize him at Madison Square Garden, but he's in the semifinals taking on Seton Hall, who beat Mike St. John's team in overtime. The other matchup tonight features Creighton. They blew out Butler, taking on UConn. They got the easy win over DePaul. Exhibition baseball, the Mets beat the Astros yesterday 1-0. Jacob DeGrom at one point threw 101, 101, and 100. No runs, struck out seven along the way. I know. He has been intense this spring, and they asked DeGrom about during the regular season being taken out of the game early while he's pitching well.
No, you don't want to overdo it. You know you have to build up, and coming into the night, I knew I had three innings, and you know once you get there, that's it. I think the main thing is the ups, the rest in between, and just that's what you're preparing yourself for and building that pitch count up. So you don't want to go from throwing 25 to throwing 70. So it's more of, you know, if it was a regular season game and I felt that good and I came out in three, I'd be a little upset, but not in spring.
Hard to believe this guy's won two Cy Young Awards already. Folks have him second behind Seaver as the second greatest pitcher in the history of the Mets. He can get better, but he's been better so far this spring. Sports at 15:45. WABC Early News. I'm Sid Rosenberg.
5:17. Time for traffic and transit on the sevens. Here's Joe Nolan.
Well, Frank and Juliet, much better than the last few days, that is for sure. The Jersey Turnpike northbound, the outer roadway, shut down for overnight maintenance for the entire length. Also, as you travel out onto the Staten Island-bound Verrazano Bridge, that lower level also going to be closed as they do some maintenance up there. Now, if you're traveling northbound on the Connecticut Turnpike, I-95 in Greenwich, between exits 4 and 5, there is an accident off on the shoulder that's slowing everybody down as you get on through there. Now, mass transit, all the commuter railroads, the subways, everybody on or close to schedule at alternate side is in effect today. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on the Sevens, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Thank you, Joseph. Frank has your business news coming up. COVID checks, you could get them as early as this weekend. Also, a vacation home in the Hamptons. That's so 2020. I'll tell you how you can have your own summer villa in the south of Italy for peanuts. And this time, there's no catch. Your Jet Set Juliet travel update at 5:40.
All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
All right, the trading week is winding down on Wall Street after all three markets saw rallies yesterday. The Dow Jones was up 189, the S&P 500 gained 40, and the NASDAQ soared 330 points. Now, the big news for many of you is the White House is saying that the first round of $1,400 COVID relief checks will start hitting bank accounts this weekend. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki yesterday called it the first wave and said payments to eligible Americans will continue over the next several weeks. The checks are part of the coronavirus relief bill that President Biden signed into law yesterday. Americans who made $80,000 or less per year, or couples who made $160,000 or less, are eligible for a one-time payment of up to $1,400, plus an extra $1,400 for each dependent child. They will be delivered by those checks that are delivered by mail will take longer to arrive, Juliet.
All right, it is 61 degrees, light rain right now. We're going to get up to 64 today with afternoon sun. WABC Early News time is 5:20. Coming up in my Jet Set Juliet travel update at 5:40. We could be getting the all clear to travel to this famous European hotspot any day now. I'm going to tell you which country just opened its borders to countries whose vaccine rates are not much further along than ours. But first, let's head over to the news desk for Deb's News Minute. Good morning, Deb.
Good morning, Julia. All right, 61, light rain, as you said. Michael Cohen, former President Donald Trump's personal attorney, met with prosecutors from the Manhattan DA's office yesterday afternoon via Zoom for almost 3 hours. The DA's office is investigating Trump's taxes and finances. Well, commuters and others alike asking why the MTA cannot restore full service to the LIRR right away, including NASA County officials earlier than the March 29th date that they plan on doing
so. Union leader Anthony Simon expressing his anger at how these cuts resulted in overcrowded trains and a lack of social distancing.
Would you not feel uncomfortable walking into a crowded train when the pandemic is far from over? Who decided that this pandemic was over? The MTA?
County Executive Laura Curran says the changes must be reversed immediately. Meantime, the LIRR says it's added more cars to trains during the morning and evening rush in an effort to cut down on overcrowding. I'm Bob Brown for 77 WABC News.
All right, New York City holding a virtual COVID-19 Remembrance Day this Sunday. Mayor de Blasio.
This will be, of course, the one-year anniversary of the first COVID death recorded in New York City.
And people can submit photos of loved ones lost to NYC.gov. All right, Dow futures in the red down 27 points, 61 light rain from the 77 WABC Early News Desk. I'm Deborah Valentine.
All right. And here is your weather forecast from the Ramsey Subaru Weather Center. As I said, it's 61 degrees and some light rain in the city right now. We're going to get up to 64, but the good news is that the clouds will start to part, the rain will go away, and we'll have a nice sunny day. I mean, we will have some clouds this afternoon, but it's not going to be bad. 34 degrees and clear skies tonight. Saturday, we're going to have sunny skies, 50 degrees. So we're going to be taking a pretty deep jump in terms of the temperature. Sunday, we'll get up to 52 degrees. With mostly sunny skies. And by Monday, we're going to have sun, lots of sun, but it's going to be chilly, 40 degrees. And by the way, over the next few days, we will have some light winds, so it'll probably feel a lot chillier. And I'm seeing on this weather forecast PM rain and snow on Tuesday.
Ooh,
which I don't
snow.
Like. I hope that that is not the case, but we've seen crazier things happen at this time in March, so let's hope not.
Oh boy, what does it say? March comes in like a lamb, goes out. Comes in like a lamb, goes out like a lamb.
Yeah,
appears to be the opposite.
Exactly.
Right. All right. Well, that is a real
bummer.
It's the word. All right. There's a new way to escape to the beach every day. A private island in the Bahamas is going up for auction.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Little Ragged Island, also known as St. Andrews. It's described as having 730 acres of rolling forested hills and pristine white beaches, along with freshwater ponds and enough space to build a golf course resort, but it's isolated with the closest island 10 minutes away by boat. The asking price is $19 million. Bidding begins March 26th.
Oh, well, I mean, if we all pool our resources, maybe we too can own an island.
I think we still might be a little short. Maybe John Catsimatidis can give us
a loan. All right. You can take the billionaire out of New York, but apparently you can't take New York out of the billionaire. Bloomberg is reporting that some of the Wall Streeters who were part of that mass exodus to Miami during the lockdown, they're homesick. Quite a few financial firms bailed on the Big Apple and began looking at my hometown, Miami, as a future financial capital. You've got the sun, surf and sand, and so not Manhattan. The whales apparently love those things, but they prefer the schools, theaters, restaurants and culture of home.
Well, I can certainly understand why people would be nostalgic for New York City. Barbie's longtime companion, Ken, is getting a high fashion makeover for his birthday. The iconic doll is now 60 years old. And in celebration of that, Mattel has teamed up with an Italian designer to create three one-of-a-kind versions of the doll. They're all wearing miniature versions of Berluti's new menswear collection.
Oh.
The dolls will be auctioned in May to benefit the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Until then, fans can follow along as they travel from Paris to Los Angeles on the Barbie Style Instagram account. While you're checking out the Barbie Style Instagram account, I want to encourage you to check out our show's Instagram account by searching 77 WABC Early News.
All right. Let's do some royal stuff. This is some hard-hitting stuff, guys.
Absolutely.
So stay tuned. The prince and likely future king has spoken. Prince William, along with his wife Kate, were visiting a school in Stratford, East London, when a scrum of reporters began shouting questions, and they certainly didn't hold back. Listen to one of them.
Sir, have you spoken to your brother since the interview?
No, I haven't spoken yet, but I will do.
And can you just let me know, is the royal family a racist family, sir?
No, we're very much not a racist family.
The Duke of Cambridge is second in line to the throne behind his father, Prince Charles. He is the first royal to comment publicly on his brother and sister-in-law, Prince Harry, and Meghan Markle's accusations.
You know what I don't understand is every family has people that have unorthodox views are a little kooky or a little belligerent, maybe even a little bit racist. How can the royal family be expected to answer for what one unnamed family member may have said?
Well, I guess the key is what Ahmed Scobie said the other day, that people look at Charles and William as the future kings, and they don't want a racist king on the throne. So that's the big concern, I think, for a large part of the UK.
No, very interesting.
And particularly because the UK, you know, they've got the Commonwealth of, you know, many countries. Majority are black. So that's a big consideration.
All right. At 5:27, time for traffic and transit on the sevens. Here is Joe Nolan with all the traffic news you need to know.
Well, we'll start in New Jersey, coming inbound on 78 and 80. Both of those doing very well without any sort of an issue. Garden State Parkway, good. Jersey Turnpike, northbound, that outer roadway is going to be closed the whole way for maintenance, but that should be only for another 40, 45 minutes or so. Staten Island bound, Verrazano, lower level, that is closed with road work. Up to the north, Connecticut, northbound Connecticut Turnpike between exits 4 and 5. An accident there, that one all off on the shoulder. Now, Mass Transit pretty much on or close to schedule at this point. An alternate side of the street, parking rules and regulations are in effect. This report of Exergen, accuracy matters. Trade up any non-contact thermometer for a $5 rebate towards an Exergen purchase at any retailer. Accuracy matters when taking temperature. Upgrade to Exergen, the only home forehead thermometer proven accurate by published clinical studies. Visit Exergen.com. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on the 7th, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
All right. We are going to be talking to somebody that you guys know very well. He is Steve Kastenbaum, a guy who has been in radio for a long time here in New York City. But before we do that, let's head over to the news desk for Deb's News Minute. Hi, Deb.
Hello, Juliet and Frank. All right. Now it's trending from the 77 WABC early news desk. 61 light rain. Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie has authorized a committee to begin an impeachment investigation into New York's Governor Andrew Cuomo. The governor under investigation regarding claims of sexual harassment from six women. The National Organization for Women calling on the governor to step down.
Sonia Osorio is executive director of the organization's New York chapter, and she tells Capitol tonight Cuomo's lost their members' trust. This after a sixth accuser came forward saying Cuomo touched her inappropriately last month at the executive mansion. Albany police are now aware of the alleged incident. Osorio says she preferred to have waited for an independent inquiry, which would be free of political pressure. Governor Cuomo says he's never touched any woman inappropriately. I'm Bob Brown for 77 WABC News.
$6 billion with a B dollars from the new federal stimulus package is headed to New York City. There's another $6 billion for the MTA. U.S. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer with Mayor de Blasio yesterday.
The city of New York gets over $6 billion. And what that means is that our workers, who were through no fault of the cities, but because of the loss in revenues, will continue to be working on the job, picking up the garbage and doing health care and driving the buses and everything else.
Schumer also announcing a new vaccine supercharge program for the city. He says it will provide an additional 100 federally funded vaccination sites and a huge influx of vaccines to New York City's five boroughs, including underserved communities.
That means more vaccines for New York and many more New York sites to administer them.
And just when and where these sites will be located has not yet been announced. The family of a black New York State man who was fatally shot by a New Jersey state trooper last year has filed a lawsuit against the state. That in federal court yesterday, it alleges race was a factor in the death of Maurice Gordon Jr. He was shot to death on the Garden State Parkway, shot six times by a trooper, according to video released last year by the Attorney General's office, which is investigating that violence. All right, WABC News time coming up on 5:30. Futures right now in the green, up 188. Fox is next.
Fox News, I'm Carmen Roberts.
America is coming back.
President Biden sounded a hopeful note last night as he addressed the nation.
Because we're actually on track to reach this goal of 100 million shots in arms on my 60th day in office. No other country in the world has done this.
Among the efforts to help make that possible, the president is directing states to make all adults eligible for vaccination by May 1st. Now that the COVID relief bill is law, the White House says direct deposit stimulus checks may start arriving this weekend. And the Preakness will be back as the second leg of horse racing's Triple Crown after being delayed last year by COVID restrictions.
This announcement coming after Maryland Governor Larry Hogan announced that large outdoor venues would be allowed to open at 50% capacity as part of an easing of COVID restrictions in his state.
Fox's Matt Napolitano. America's listening to Fox News.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Welcome back. WABC News time is 5:32. Is New York City done? Some think the pandemic was the nail in Manhattan's coffin. And we're going to talk about whether we can and will make a comeback with longtime New York radio reporter Steve Kastenbaum. By the way, you know his voice very well, I'm sure.
The iconic yellow taxi. It's hard to imagine New York's streets without them. But taxi drivers here were in a state of crisis at the start of 2020. Then the coronavirus pandemic hit.
Well, that is Steve Kastenbaum. He's covered news for everyone from Westwood One Radio to CNN. And he recently launched this new podcast you just heard a little bit there called New York Gritty, tackling the things that make New York City tick. And he is joining us right now. Hey, Steve.
Hey, good morning, Juliet. Good morning, Frank. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to have you here today. I've listened to you for many, many years. You do a great job. And I really, really enjoy this podcast. I think it's a great idea. Can you tell me a little bit, you know, the big question that you're trying to answer, and correct me if I'm wrong, with this podcast is New York City over? And sort of all the things that make New York City tick and great. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, I'm a native New Yorker. I'm a born and bred proud Brooklynite. And when people started saying New York was dead as the pandemic was peaking here, you know, it really got me upset, as it did with a lot of New Yorkers. And I know that New Yorkers are gritty and resilient, and they're persevering people, and they will meet any challenge. And anyone who's ever written New York's obituary has been proven wrong over the years. So I'm not sugarcoating the challenges that we face here in New York. This is probably the most severe crisis the city has faced since the economic crisis of the 1970s, when the city was essentially bankrupt. We really face a tough time ahead. But with that said, New Yorkers always rise to the challenge and meet that challenge. And this city's always reinventing itself. And I wanted to tell the stories of the people who keep our city's magic alive during dark times and are addressing those challenges and don't ignore them. They acknowledge them. But they are still optimistic, and they think that this is an opportunity for the city to reinvent itself again. New York's always reinventing itself. And whether it's restaurant owners who are really struggling or the 140,000 people in the hospitality industry who are still out of work, or if it's the 12,000 people who are employed in Broadway theaters, you know, it runs the gamut. I talk to healthcare workers, taxi drivers. Everybody's facing a tough time right now. They all acknowledge this. But they are all confident in New York City's ability to come back and mount yet another epic comeback from this.
Steve, this is Frank. I'm a big fan. I've been listening to you for many years. It's a real thrill to be able to talk with you. And kudos on the new podcast. I am curious, what do the folks that you spoke to cite as the source of their optimism? Crime, violent crime included, is going up. Homelessness is very visible. Even the general level of filth on the street seems to be going up. And with more and more businesses allowing their workers to work from homes without having a need to live in New York City, I'm curious, what are folks saying is the reason they're optimistic about New York City's forthcoming comeback?
Yeah, and let me tell you, the filth on the streets, you know, as a native New Yorker, it's really bothering me. I was driving around yesterday, I went to interview somebody in Gravesend, Brooklyn, and I was just really disappointed in just how dirty the streets have become. You know, where I live in downtown Brooklyn, my neighbors and I, we've adopted our street, and we keep it clean because the sanitation department isn't sweeping as much as it used to. So that's really distressing when you see that, when you see the filth, when you see you know, some of the stores, you know, with their signs bidding farewell and thanking their customers because they couldn't make it anymore during this tough time.
Yeah.
It's really disheartening, right? But the thing that keeps people buoyed here is the fact that New York has risen to the challenge before. You know, they've seen New York come through really tough times. I mean, look at the collapse of the subprime mortgage sector and how many people were unemployed in New York in 2008 and 2009. And yet we bounced back
right.
from that.
Well, I don't mean to interrupt, but I just did a story a couple seconds ago, a couple minutes ago, about the billionaires who left New York City, went down to Miami, and are now like, oh, what did we do? What are we doing? You know, when you move away from New York City, you may hate it. You may go crazy here. Sometimes, you know, I can't stand this place. But when you leave, there's something missing, and you always feel that need to go back because there's just something about this city. Steve, I wanted to get into so much more, but we've got to run.
How do people hear this podcast, Steve?
Yeah, you can hear New York Gritty on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. Or you can just go to our website, nygritty.com. That's NYGRITTY.com, and you can subscribe there.
Great.
And we're going to be putting up a lot more information about the recovery on the website as well.
I love this website. I mean, I love this podcast. It's very, very good. And I'd love to have you come back and talk about some of the things that you're learning more specifically. That would be really good. So you're going to be waking up at 5:30 frequently.
My pleasure. I'd love
Thanks,
to.
Thanks, Steve. Great talking with you. All right. It is 5:37. Let's head to Joe Nolan with Traffic on the 7.
Jersey Turnpike northbound, that outer roadway closed for maintenance. That will continue for a while. We had an accident on the northbound side of the Connecticut Turnpike between exits 4 and 5. That earlier accident now is out of the way. New York State Thruway northbound slow at 14B with an overturned vehicle. Two lanes are out of service. Southbound Bruckner at 149th Street. Two lanes are out with emergency road work. That might be there for a while. And alternate side of the street, parking rules and regulations once again today are in effect in mass transit. Everybody on or close to schedule. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
All right, new businesses have been opening since this pandemic. I mean, wait, what? But yes, Frank's going to tell us about that in his business report. That's coming right up.
All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
5:40. This is the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano. A new Yelp report shows that nearly 500,000 new businesses have opened in the U.S. since the COVID-19 pandemic was declared. Let me repeat that. 500,000 new businesses have opened in the U.S. since the COVID pandemic was declared. That's only down 15% compared to the full year prior. The data shows 15% of the new entities were food-related businesses. Yelp official Justin Norman says the numbers are promising, adding that businesses hit hard will start to bounce back as vaccinations accelerate and relief money starts hitting bank accounts. The coronavirus was declared a pandemic by the World Health Organization a year and a day ago on March 11th of 2020, Juliet.
All right. Thank you. And by the way, Steve Kassenbaum was going to come on here and talk about specifically the taxi drivers and the struggles that they're going through. So we're going to have him come back
Great.
Next week to get a little bit more specific
Terrific.
About that. I hope. I just tweeted him. All right. Dateline, Con, depending on how you like to say it. It's your Jet Set Juliet travel update. Off the coast, there is an underwater, essentially a museum off the coast of Cannes, featuring giant sculptures of heads. Jason DeCares Taylor has created these below-surface museums all over the world, as a matter of fact, including Mexico, the Bahamas, Norway, and Australia. The British artist now adding Cannes, France to his repertoire. It's his first installation in the Mediterranean Sea. Each of the six faces are about 6 feet high. They weigh 10 tons. They are modeled after six locals, including an 80-year-old fisherman and school children. Organizers are hoping these underwater gardens will bring a new attention to and appreciation of the plight of the oceans. All you have to do is get a snorkel and go under. So by now, you probably heard about this amazing phenomenon in Italy, towns where you can buy houses for less than $1,000. Well, there are always catches, I got to tell you. But ultimately, you can get a good deal for a small investment. The latest offering comes from a pretty little town in the south of Italy. It's called Lorenzana, where you can buy a home for €1. It's about $1.50. Other towns require deposits ranging from $2,000 to $6,000 that are returned once you've finished your renovations, but not so with Lorenzana. You have to be serious, though. You have to submit a proposal, a sort of plan as to how you're going to redesign the property, and you have to start the work within 3 months of purchase and finish within 3 years, which is not really that big of a deal. There are about 50 houses and abandoned stone and red brick buildings dating back to the 1800s. They're not in great shape, but they're not, you know, just like blocks of nothing sitting there. They definitely are structures. But, you know, put about 20, 25 grand in and you're going to have a nice little place to call home. And finally, okay, guys, I have been telling you how we're starting to get closer to being able to travel to our favorite European countries again. Now, I honestly think we're seeing a light at the end of the tunnel. France announced Thursday, that it's easing restrictions on travel. Right now, the U.S. is not on that list. However, the countries that they are allowing have been having great success with vaccines and with lockdowns, and I honestly think it is only a matter of time that the list opens up to Americans. So at least France is looking good.
How have you not bought one of these 1 euro homes yet?
We're just trying, honestly, to determine where exactly we want to do it, because we will be living, I would definitely say, in Venice, but just to
but
have a little place.
The 1 euro
they're not
home,
giving away. Right? Oh, no. God, no.
That's the most expensive.
Yeah. I mean, but this is my husband's grandparents on one side came from Italy. So we're going to try to get him dual citizenship, and ultimately that will be our home.
All right.
Ultimately. Wow. That's what we hope, at least.
All right. Well, quite a bit of interesting material in the news before we get to sports with Sid Rosenberg, who's sitting in a very small chair.
It's really hysterical.
It
and
is.
He's so horrified by
it's
this.
Terrible. It is.
I just posted it on Instagram,
oh, great.
By the
so,
way.
Yeah, if people want to see how tall I am and how short Sid Rosenberg is, you can go to the 77 WABC Early News on Instagram.
You're enjoying this.
Oh,
a lot.
I am.
Yeah.
Because I have always been very bitter about how short I am.
Right.
My dad is 6'2".
Yeah.
So I've kept waiting for a growth spurt.
But this goes above and beyond even height. This is a level of hierarchy. It represents about 90 things for you because you're a psycho. I know you. So now you're taller than Sid in about 10 respects.
Wait, but Sid, there is a chair, a normal chair sitting over there with
all of his stuff draped all over it.
He's good.
Well, it's not like he's got COVID. I mean, just take his stuff off. Throw it away.
The amount of time you've spent analyzing my psyche over the last
Oh, I know you. Oh, I've got your number. I've got your number, Mr. Borgata. I've got you.
It's deflection, guys.
All right. Well,
what's happening in the world of sports?
Well, I'll tell you, the best story of the day involves one of the greatest New York athletes ever, who for 15 years walked the hallways of Madison Square Garden and distinguished himself as one of the greatest NBA players ever. Yet, 22 years later, as the head coach of the Georgetown Hoyas, no one knows who this guy is. The great Patrick Ewing, whose Georgetown team beat Villanova yesterday, and now find themselves in the semifinals today at Madison Square Garden in Big East tournament action. They'll be taking on Seton Hall, who beat St. John's, Creighton and UConn in the nightcap. Patrick Ewing walking around the garden and being stopped by every security guy had this to say yesterday.
But I do want to say one thing, though. I thought this was my building, and I feel terrible that I'm getting stopped, accosted, asking for passes. Everybody in this building should know who the hell I am, and I'm getting stopped. I can't move around this building. I was like, what the hell? Is this Madison Square Garden?
I love that, and he's right. Patrick Ewing, maybe the greatest Knick of all time. It's been 22 years, but come on, guys. Talking about the Knicks, they come back from the All-Star break. They got shellacked in Milwaukee. 134-101, they fall to 19-19. It begs the question, who are the real Knicks? The Nets, we know who they are. They beat Boston last night, 121-109, behind 40 from Kyrie Irving. They improved to 25-13, remain a half game behind Philadelphia inside the Eastern Conference as the 2 seed. NHL, the Bruins, they shut out the Rangers last night 4-0. Islanders win again. They beat the Devils 5-3. And in exhibition baseball, the Yankees, they beat the Phillies 6-1. Three solid innings from their ace, Gerrit Cole. Here's what he had to say after the win.
I think I'm in a good spot. I'm pleased with the effort level relative to how the stuff's coming out. And, you know, there's a few spread sequences, but for the most part, I had three pitches pretty much going where we wanted them to. So that's pretty nice. And, you know, so physically great. And I got three going. So that's pretty good.
Mets won two. They beat Houston. Their ace, Jacob DeGrom, also won three innings yesterday. Scoreless baseball, struck out seven, and in one sequence, pitched over 101 miles per hour for three consecutive pitches. Sports at 15 and 45 for the WABC Early News. I'm Sid Rosenberg.
5:47, time for traffic and transit on the sevens. Here's Joe Nolan.
Well, on the New York State Thruway northbound up at Airmount Road, which is exit 14B, apparently there's an overturned vehicle there. Two lanes are out. A report of a serious injury involved with this. So as you head northbound on the thruway, you've got that. Southbound on the Bruckner in the city coming down to 149th Street, two lanes are out. On the elevated portion there, they're doing emergency road work. They're repairing an expansion joint. So as a result of that, there are some pretty significant delays building. Westbound 78 out at exit 29, a disabled in the left lane at alternate side of the street. Parking rules are in effect. Mass transit, everybody on or close to schedule. This report is service and Discover. Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. It's like they're cramming a full year's worth of cash back into one of those cash-shaped birthday cards. Cash back match only at Discover Card. Learn more at discover.com/match. Discover, something brighter. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on 7's Talk Radio 77 WABC.
A Georgetown law professor makes some shocking comments, and they're all caught on Zoom. That story plus the weather forecast coming up.
All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
This is the WABC Early News, and we come bearing good news for Oreo fans. Oreo fans are getting the chance to dribble and dunk with every bite. Listen to this. New NBA Dynasty cookies are coming out. They're embossed with six basketball team logos: the Boston Celtics, the Chicago Bulls, the Golden State Warriors, the Los Angeles Lakers, the Miami Heat, and the San Antonio Spurs. Sorry, Knicks and Net fans. The cookies tip off later this month. A Taste Greatness sweepstakes will also launch on March 29th with a trip to the NBA All-Star Game in 2022 as the grand prize.
Well, I don't know about the Miami Heat. Were they not mentioned on there?
I just said Miami.
Oh, you did? Okay, yeah. Because it's going to feel, well, not necessarily like Miami Heat, but, you know, 60s today.
Wonderful.
Compared to what we've been feeling, it's like Miami Heat. We're actually going to get up now to 65 today. I was saying 64 earlier, but the forecast has been altered a bit. We're at 61 degrees and cloudy in Manhattan right now. We may see some showers or two early this morning around the area. Then it's going to be cloudy this afternoon. I am not seeing sun now on the forecast.
Oh, no.
This has been altered. I am not happy about this. But let's see. Let's just see. Clear skies tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow we see sunny skies, but the temperatures are going to drop down to 50. So dropping 15 degrees. Yikes. On Sunday, we'll have mostly sunny skies. It'll be a little bit warmer, 53 degrees, but we will have some wind gusts up to 18 miles an hour. Monday, sunny skies, 40 degrees, unfortunately. And according to this forecast, we may see some snow or at least rain on Tuesday. So stay with us. We'll keep you updated on that. But did you notice how quickly things changed? Literally in the course of a half an hour, we went from having a sunny day to not having a sunny day, but getting 1 degree warmer, Frank.
The fickle finger of fate.
Well, Mother Nature, you know, she's a chick. What can I say?
All right. Well, let me tell you what is happening with respect to Oklahoma. They are ending their COVID-19 restrictions as California is closing in on a vaccination goal. Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt announced yesterday he'll roll back his state's few remaining restrictions today. That means no limits on public gatherings, no limits on attendance at indoor sporting events, and no more mask requirements in state buildings. Meantime, California expects to reach its goal of administering 2 million vaccine doses to people in disadvantaged areas today. That would mean indoor dining, movie theaters, and gyms could open up in Los Angeles County.
All right. This story is so mind-blowing for so many reasons. If you're going to make incendiary comments about race, you better make sure you don't do it on Zoom. An explosive video was leaked. Well, not really leaked, actually. I'll give you the background. It involves two white Georgetown law professors slamming black students. Well, one in particular, Sandra Sellers and David Batson, were discussing the work of a black student when the white female professor, Sandra Sellers, said this.
I hate to say this. I end up having this, you know, angst every semester that a lot of my lower ones are blacks. Happens almost every semester. And it's like, oh, come on. You know, get some really good ones, but they're also usually some that are just plain at the bottom. It drives me crazy.
The Zoom call was actually... This is insane to me. Available for students and others to view. Apparently, it was sitting there for weeks before a student reported the comments. That launched an investigation. The Black Law Students Association immediately called for Sellers' firing. They say her remarks show bias in her grading, and the school agreed. They announced yesterday that Sellers has been fired, and they're not letting the other white professor on the call off the hook. Critics say he should have said something right then and there, but instead nodded his head and, you know, and remained silent, essentially. Students calling for him to at least issue a formal apology.
Wow. Well, look, it is the Lenten season, and 7-Eleven is known for its Slurpees, but now they're adding fish to the list of things that they're going to be selling. The convenience store chain is expanding its food selection with fish bites. A spokesperson says they had success last year with an Alaskan pollock sandwich and wanted to roll out a new grab-and-go option. The fish bites won't last long, though. They're only going to be offered during the religious season of Lent and will be part of a Fish Fridays deal for app users.
That's smart. All right, I told you about this yesterday. Matthew McConaughey, he's turned himself into somewhat of a self-help guru. He's written a book, he offers life guidance, and now he says he may be up for yet another challenge, politics. On the Balanced Voice podcast, McConaughey said running for governor is a true consideration.
I'm looking into now, again, what is my leadership role? Because I do think I have some things to teach and share. And what is my role? What's my category in my next chapter of life that I'm going into now?
He has lived in Austin. He's an Austin guy. As I said yesterday, knows a lot of people on both sides of the aisle. So it's definitely feasible. He told the Hugh Hewitt Show late last year something similar. Will we see the actor turned life coach turned politician? Stay tuned.
Well, would he run, has he indicated, as a Democrat, Republican, or independent?
Not clear.
Not clear. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, I think he'd certainly be very formidable.
I mean, he has been critical of liberals.
Yes.
You know, so it's possible that he could run as a Republican. I wouldn't bet on it, but it's possible.
It certainly would be very interesting. All right, we're going to do traffic and transit with Joe Nolan in just a minute. But the trademarked phrase vasectomy mayhem is causing a stir with the NCAA. The governing body of college sports filed a trademark complaint last month against Virginia Urology, claiming it bears a close resemblance to its famous March Madness basketball tournament. The NCAA argues it will result in confusion, mistake, or deception. The Patent and Trademark Office okayed vasectomy mayhem back in September. The NCAA has rights not only for March Madness, but names close to it, such as March Mayhem and Midnight Madness.
Mm. Well, if you're heading out to a dinner party tonight, Frank,
yes.
I know you'll be heading to a restaurant, but you don't have the funds to buy a really nice bottle of wine. Experts at Basel University in Switzerland have the answer. Just lie. Researchers there gave volunteers three different red wines. The prices ranged from the cheapos to the expensive stuff, but they were intentionally marked incorrectly. The funny thing is, the folks who thought that they were drinking a pricey bottle but were actually drinking the cheaper stuff still gave it an enthusiastic thumbs up. Just hope the dinner party guests are not wine connoisseurs.
That is very interesting.
It's, yeah.
557, a guy that always enjoys expensive wine, is Joe Nolan, who's got traffic and transit on the 7s. Hello, Joe.
Northbound on the New York State Thruway up at 14B, which is Airmont Road, an overturned vehicle. Two lanes are out of service. You want to avoid that if you can. Apparently a lot of activity, maybe an accident investigation on the way there as well. Now, if you're inbound Triborough RFK Bridge, now we're all jammed up, a disabled truck. Two lanes are out. That's on the Queens leg. Also delays as you travel southbound on the Bruckner at 149th Street. Two lanes out there. there. Expansion joint work. It's emergency road work. It might be there for a little while. Westbound 78 in New Jersey out by 287, a disabled left lane and alternate side. Once again, today is in effect. This report is a service of Indeed.com. Sometimes a hiring freeze happens because you can't find the right people. So follow the warming trend to Indeed. They have tools to help you find the quality candidates you need to help your business. Learn more. Indeed.com/credit. With traffic on the sevens, I'm Joe Nolan. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
All right. So where does the tri-state fall when it comes to longevity? Thankfully, the news is good. According to the CDC, the average life expectancy in the U.S. was 78.7 years. That is the last year that we have data available, which was 2018. Hawaiians live the longest, average of 81 years. West Virginians, the lowest, only about 74.4 years. Women lived longer than men in every single state.
Oof.
So how did we do? All right, I'm going to give you the top 10, starting from 10. Rhode Island at number 10. New Jersey, number 9. 8, Colorado. 7, Washington. 6, Massachusetts. 5, Connecticut. 4, Minnesota. 3, New York. And California is lucky number 2 behind Hawaii. The worst, and D.C. is included on this list, so there are actually 51 slots, Louisiana, Tennessee, Kentucky, Alabama, Mississippi, and then, of course, the worst, West Virginia.
Well, we got a half hour left to go here on the WABC Early News, but I did want to bring this to your attention. Amazon is now saying it won't sell books that frame LGBTQ identity as a mental illness. Amazon stated that policy yesterday in a letter to 4 Republican senators who asked why the online retail giant decided to stop selling the book When Harry Became Sally, responding to the transgender moment. Senators asked what the story was, and Amazon says this is their new policy.
It's a clever name for a book, though, I have to say.
It is.
You know?
It is.
Yeah. All right. We are going to be right back, and here are the headlines.
The Rooster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. It's Friday, TGIF, and the weekend is here. I'm Frank Morano. Welcome to the Early News.
And I'm Juliet Huddy. Deb is following breaking news stories at the news desk, as you just heard. Christian and Gabby are at the controls. Sid has sports coming up at 6:15. Here's what everybody's going to be talking about today. An indictment coming down for the former president. There is one person who thinks it is inevitable. Also, July 4th may be a celebration, the likes of which we have never seen. And a new drug could mean the end of COVID suffering. Also, I love this story, a stunning find, another one, this time in Spain.
Wow.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to that. And I'll tell you about what Nassau County is doing in order to make the risk of dangerous dogs a little less risky. And out in other parts of Long Island, a whole bunch of people are going to be jumping into some freezing cold water this weekend.
Oh.
I'll tell you about that as well.
One?
Well, stay tuned to find out. Oh. Meantime, 6:07, Joe Nolan has all the traffic and transit on the sevens. What's happening, Joe?
Well, a few issues out there this morning, and we're going to start at the RFK Traber Bridge coming inbound. You're jammed across the Queens Leg. It's a disabled truck. Two lanes are out of service. It's one of those big old over-the-road Amazon trucks. So as you come inbound, you've got those delays. That might be there a little while just because of the size of the thing. Southbound on the Bruckner at 149th Street, two lanes are out. Again, emergency expansion joint work. Also, as you travel on the New York State Thruway, northbound up at 14B, that overturned vehicle, two lanes again out of service at that point, and apparently some injuries involved. So an accident investigation is not out of the question. Then westbound on 78 out at exit 29, there was a stall in the left lane. That shouldn't take too long. An alternate side of the street, parking rules are in effect. With traffic on the sevens, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
All right. Well, you heard the president last night talking about all of the things that he thinks are going to be happening over the next few months. And one of the big standouts was that he said, by this time, this summer, we are going to see a big, big party. It is going to be a the likes of which we've never seen.
Long, hard year. That will make this Independence Day something truly special, where we not only mark our independence as a nation, but we begin to mark our independence from this virus.
I truly hope that's the case. Also, he said anybody who wants a vaccine can sign up starting May 1st, which is extremely good news.
Absolutely. Well, out on Long Island, Nassau County is creating a registry and notification system for dangerous dogs. The legislature signed Benny's Law, which was introduced by legislator John Ferretti, whose dog was attacked by another dog last year before it ran back to its owner. Ferretti says the law offers more protection by making courts responsible for alerting neighbors who live within 1,000 feet of a dog who has had past incidents. Ferretti adds the measure is especially important since it covers the entirety of the county.
All right. An indictment could be coming down in just a matter of days. That is the word from John Dean. You know him. His testimony helped take down President Nixon, only this time he is referring to President Trump. Dean pointing to the fact that Trump's ex-fixer, Michael Cohen, met yet again with the Manhattan DA. You heard about this from Deb earlier. It is his seventh interview. Dean writing via Twitter, from personal experience as a key witness, I assure you that you do not visit a prosecutor's office seven times if they're not planning to indict those about whom you have knowledge. So that is those are some pretty blunt and definitive words. We shall see if they come true.
John Dean has become very much an anti-Trump pundit over the years. So he's not strictly an objective analyst.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if he's, you know, he's saying something, he's making a prediction. He's not
right.
saying Trump's
right.
a jerk. He's saying, is
yeah,
this what's
I
going
know.
To
you
happen?
You got the sense that he's sort of rooting for that.
Well, I mean, that may
well.
Be, but I mean, he's going to sound like an idiot if it doesn't happen.
Right.
Nobody's going
right.
to believe that he's credible.
That's true. All right. Well, the town of Oyster Bay is gearing up to host its Polar Plunge this weekend. The event's happening tomorrow at Tobey Beach, with the town welcoming both individuals and teams. It's dubbed Freezing for a Reason, since all the proceeds go towards Special Olympics New York. According to the event page, everyone must wear a mask at all times while groups are being told when to show up in order to avoid crowds.
I will not be participating, although it is a wonderful
not.
Thing.
I would
doing.
Love to be there, but unfortunately, I'm going to be out of town.
Gambling.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd probably be hungover at that point. A new COVID drug that mimics human antibodies, blocking the virus's entry into healthy cells and clearing infected cells, may be on its way to the U.S. This is a huge, huge deal. It would be obviously a massive advance in the fight against the killer disease. Pharma giant GlaxoSmithKline says the drug VIR-7831, remember that, Frank, treats people with mild to moderate illness, the virus, and reduces the chances that you're going to end up in the hospital or dead by 85%. And here is the real kicker. The study has been so successful that it's been stopped early so that it can potentially get emergency authorization. Apparently, every single person that they tested it on, it worked.
Wow.
Which is, I mean, that is just, it makes my heart just sing.
Well, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Between that and these approved vaccines, hopefully we'll be able to lick this thing in no time. More jurors are being selected in the trial of former Minnesota police officer Derek Chauvin. Five men and one woman have been chosen so far for the trial in Minneapolis. Only one juror was selected yesterday. The selection process will continue until the court decides on 14 impartial jurors. Chauvin is the white former police officer accused of killing George Floyd in Minneapolis last summer by kneeling on the unarmed black man's neck for nearly 9 minutes. Chauvin has pleaded not guilty to second and third degree murder charges.
All right. Stepping back in history, we need some nice music. Another stunning find, this time in Murcia, Spain. And it's got historians wondering, was society there, maybe other societies, during the Bronze Age ruled by women? Archaeologists found a large oval jar buried under the floor of an ancient palace there. Inside were the remains of a man and a woman. Scientists identified the area back in the late 1800s. They call it El Argar, the Argaric culture dominated the southeast part of Spain between 2200 and 1500 BC. I remember it well. And it's been long held that women had a major leadership role there. But now this find seems to confirm it. That's because most of the funerary items were found on the woman, including a silver crown and bracelets, implying that she was the ruler, not the man.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
The Pentagon is making the rare move of calling out a TV host. The Fox News Channel's Tucker Carlson mocked some women in the armed forces this week. Carlson called it a mockery of the U.S. military that President Biden noted the armed services have taken steps like making maternity flight suits and updating hairstyle rules for women. And in response, Pentagon spokesman John Kirby yesterday joined Defense Secretary General Lloyd Austin in expressing revulsion at Carlson's comments. Sergeant Major of the Army Michael Grinston tweeted that Carlson's comments don't reflect the military's values.
All right, if this doesn't choke you up, I don't know what will. If I'm going to post this video because it is just like, oh, it's video surveillance cameras at a veterinary clinic in Brazil, and it caught this heartbreaking little scene. A stray dog limped in all alone to this clinic, and it kind of collapsed. And as other clients and their pets looked on, the vet went over and crouched down, and it turns out the poor thing had a cancerous tumor. He's been given chemo by the vet and is resting comfortably at the doctor's home. The video just made me start crying.
Oh,
and Sid, this is the kind of thing that Sid will, he'll just fall apart. He won't even be able to finish the rest of the show if he sees it.
Ay, ay, ay.
You know?
Did you put it up on your Instagram page?
I'm going to put it up.
All right, good.
All right, before we get to sports with Sid Rosenberg, the recording industry is honoring its best Sunday night with the 63rd Annual Grammy Awards. The ceremony is going to be, as you might imagine, socially distant because of the pandemic. But performances are on tap from artists including Harry Styles, BTS. Are you applauding?
Who's the
Harry
second
Styles
one?
Harry
BTS? Harry's good. Who's the second one?
BTS.
The K-pop group.
Billie Eilish and Post Malone.
Oh,
Trevor
yeah.
Noah will host from the Los Angeles Convention Center. The awards show will air live at 8 p.m. on CBS, Paramount Plus, and Grammy.
But now, why are you shaking your head?
Yeah, why
now?
Are you upset
it's,
about
it's
that?
You know, I remember my dad, Juliet,
yeah.
would always say to me, yes. whatever I liked as a kid, he'd be
know,
like,
I
you
know,
just
yeah.
don't get it.
I know.
My generation, we had the best. And I'd be like, Dad, you sound old. Stop saying that.
And here you are.
And I'm saying the same exact stuff. I can't believe what's happened to music. TVs, movies.
Yeah.
It's garbage.
I agree.
Garbage.
There's a lot of garbage out there. I will say Harry Styles is great.
I like
He's
Harry
a great
Styles.
Performer. I do love Post Malone, too.
I like him.
Yeah. I mean, some of the other people,
oh, I love him,
you know, I don't really get it. But
right.
We'll put a pin in this
but
and
I mean,
continue this discussion in just a minute.
Because we sound like we're old.
And by the way, The Weeknd is very upset. He said the
yes.
Grammys suck. And he has said he will no longer allow his music to be nominated for Grammy Awards.
Because he didn't get nominated.
Correct.
So he says the Grammys suck. I mean,
right.
Come on, dude.
That's terrible. I know. By the way, your Weeknd, your halftime show at the Super Bowl, that sucked.
Speaking
in a big way.
Speaking of football, what's happening in the world of sports?
Well, the biggest stories in basketball, you know, for 15 years, guys, between 1985 and 1999, Patrick Ewing distinguished himself as one of the greatest NBA players ever, walking the halls of Madison Square Garden as maybe the greatest New York Knickerbocker ever. Now, 22 years later, he coached Georgetown to a huge upset last night over Villanova, and now his Georgetown Hoyas will take on Seton Hall in the semifinals of the Big East tournament at Madison Square Garden. But rather than celebrate yesterday's win, Ewing was talking about the treatment he got yesterday at Madison Square Garden.
But I do want to say one thing, though. I thought this was my building, and I feel terrible that I'm getting stopped, accosted, asking for passes. Everybody in this building should know who the hell I am. And I'm getting stopped. I can't move around this building. Like I was like, what the hell? Is this Madison Square Garden?
He's right. Georgetown will take on Seton Hall at 6 o'clock tonight. In the nightcap at 9, it's Creighton taking on UConn. Tomorrow is the Big East Championship. NBA back from the All-Star break. The Nets continue to play great basketball. Beat Boston 121-109. They improved to 25-13. They remain a half game behind Philadelphia for the top spot inside the Eastern Conference. Kyrie Irving against his former teammates, the Boston Celtics, put in 40 last night and said this after the win.
Games like this in the middle of the season where you go against guys that you've known well, and you know, it's always a blessing. I'm always happy for those guys, and you know, I want to see them do well. And when we're playing against each other, we're just going to leave it out there on the floor.
Knickerbockers come back from the All-Star break. They got shellacked 134-101 by Milwaukee. They fell to 19-19, and it does beg the question, who are the real New York Knicks? NHL, bad loss for the Rangers, shut out by the Boston Bruins 4-0, and another win for the Islanders. They skate past the Devils 5-3. Sports at 15 and 45 for the WABC Early News. I'm Sid Rosenberg.
6:17, time for traffic and transit on the 7s. Here's Joe Nolan.
Well, if you're heading northbound on the New York State Thruway up at 14B, this is a major accident, an overturned tractor trailer. There's a gravel spill. We have a report of a serious injury. There's a car involved as well in this. Two lanes are out of service. Accident investigation is sure to follow. So northbound on the Thruway. And, of course, there are going to be delays on the southbound side with rubbernecking. Inbound Triborough RFK jammed up. A disabled truck. Two lanes are out. A new one on the Whitestone Expressway. Coming up to the Whitestone Bridge, an accident, one lane out of service. And then southbound on the Bruckner at 149th Street, that earlier emergency construction is cleared. And alternate side of the street parking rules, again, are in effect. This report of service of Exergen. Accuracy matters. Trade up any non-contact thermometer for a $5 rebate towards an Exergen purchase at any retailer. Accuracy matters when taking temperature. Upgrade to Exergen, the only home forehead thermometer proven accurate by published clinical studies. Visit Exergen.com. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thanks, Joe. Apparently, this multi-billionaire isn't rich enough because he's raising prices on his products, and Frank is going to talk about that in a second. But first, from the Ramsey Subaru Weather Center, it's going to be 64 degrees today. And, oh, we've got another update. Breaks of sun in the afternoon now. Just half an hour ago, it was no sun, just clouds in the afternoon. But no, now we have breaks of sun in the afternoon. 64 degrees tonight, 34 degrees, clear skies. Saturday, we look at sunny skies all day, all sun, but 50 degrees and a light wind. Sunday, 52 degrees, mostly sunny skies, but we're going to have some 18 mile an hour wind gusts, which will make it seem a lot cooler. Monday, 40 degrees and sunny, but again, we'll have some light winds. And Tuesday, we could potentially see snow or rain in the evening. I can't imagine that's going to happen. Oof, I just can't imagine. Right. But let's hope not. Right. Currently, we are looking at 60 degrees in Manhattan and cloudy skies.
All right. Well, in the world of business, if you are thinking about buying a Tesla, you better be ready to pay a little bit more. Tesla is raising prices on its two biggest sellers. The luxury performance electric car maker announced yesterday the price of its flagship model, its Model S, is going up by $10,000. Buyers will have to come up with more than $150,000 for the most powerful Tesla, with its 520-mile range, 200-mile-an-hour top speed, and under 2 seconds, 0 to 60 time. The entry-level Model 3 is getting a $500 bump to $46,490, Juliet.
Oh, that's very interesting. Sydney, what do you think about that?
I don't like cars.
You don't like cars?
I'm not a big car person.
Neither
no.
am I.
Oh, wow.
No.
My wife is looking at a Porsche, and we fight almost
so
every day.
Wait,
every
why?
Day. Because I think it's a waste of time, waste of money.
I tell you what,
you're begging for attention.
Panamera. Oh, who cares? Oh, you're begging for attention. Like, yeah. You have a problem with that.
Well, guilty again.
Wait, you don't want her to get the attention.
Correct.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, get her tinted windows.
It's an up attention. Walk out of a Porsche.
She is very beautiful, actually. Well, and born on the same day as me, literally the same year.
That's right.
I wonder what time she was born. Do you have any idea?
I don't know, no. I'll find out, though.
I'm going to have my brother-in-law, who is an expert in astrology, do a little research on what that means, the fact that you were born on the day that you were born, and so was Danielle.
He'll figure that out, what that means.
Oh, no, he's got a whole chart.
No kidding.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I don't believe in any of that.
Either
stuff.
Do
no
I.
No offense to your
he'll
brother.
You.
Right.
Mom.
You don't believe in that stuff, but yet you're literally 2 feet away from an alien.
Well, I do believe
it's
that's
not a real alien.
It's not a real alien?
No, come on.
I didn't know.
Well, unless he's been hardened by by the pain that he's gone through, being insulted
now,
by
the way,
you.
The big news is that Sid Rosenberg has a very short chair today, and it reminds me of the Charlie Chaplin movie, The Great Dictator, where the Hitler character, who's played by Charlie Chaplin, he puts the Mussolini character in a tiny little chair. So on our Instagram page at 77WABC Early News, we have a picture of Sid in his little chair and a picture of Mussolini from The Great Dictator in his little chair.
It is that's hysterical.
Isn't that a good
He sent it to me. I've never seen that before.
Yeah,
it's hysterical.
Well, one of Charlie Chaplin's best non-silent films.
Wow.
These chairs that you're sitting in are actually quite cool looking. I mean, they're interesting looking chairs. They've got the metal back. It's like almost like I think they might call them an airplane. Or,
right. They're straight out of 1970s.
I mean, if I was downstairs in Studio 54 right now, it would be great. But trying to do a radio show and reach the microphone doesn't seem to work.
I hear you.
What's coming up on the Bernie and Sid show today?
Well, we've got a busy show. Your friend, I believe she's going to AC today too, Lauren Conley.
She's not arriving till tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
So she and Christian will miss one another.
Okay. And who's Christian?
He does sports for you.
Oh, Christian Arnold. Okay, I have no idea. It's a very incestuous group you've got. You end up hanging out in New Jersey and New York and all this
bad
stuff.
Bad idea.
Yeah. Ted Nugent's going to stop by today. The Cat Scratch Fever, the great rock and roll artist. Also, Greg Kelly. He's going to stop by today after a tremendous week one here on WABC. And Lauren Common, that's our three guests for today. And I imagine that at some point Andrew Cuomo's going to pop up, I would think.
Right? I mean, you think so?
I mean, I'm so bored of it. I get it. Every day some other woman comes out, and they're going to impeach him. They're going to arrest him. He's going to go to prison. None of that's going to happen.
I don't know. This one is interesting, though, because she apparently went and complained. I mean, before any of this stuff happened, she went to supervisors, and nothing was done about it, which adds a little bit more credibility, I think, to her, because it happened before all this stuff was.
There's no witnesses. There's no video. It's he said versus she said. That's the bottom line. Mm-hmm. So I can't get excited over this stuff because I've been over this so many times over the last couple of years with some of these politicians that we were so sure were going down and they're finished and nothing ever happened.
But the interesting thing with Governor Cuomo, and I've been somebody that I have been saying I think he was going to survive this. I think he's going to finish his full term and maybe even run for re-election. But the interesting thing today is that you now have 2/3 of the state Senate, Democrats and Republicans, all calling for his removal.
Yeah.
And that's enough to impeach him politically. So it's interesting politically. And what happened 13 years ago today, Elliot Spitzer announced that he was resigning.
That's right.
So I think there's maybe this pressure could be mounting.
Well, Cuomo just made the Mount Rushmore of great Democratic leaders, along with Elliot Spitzer. Mm-hmm. I guess I'd have to include Anthony Weiner. And who's the fourth? That's the question.
There's a number to choose from.
The Three Stooges.
Carl Kruger, Alan Hevesy.
Who's Shemp?
Shelley Silver.
He knows them all.
Even scratched the surface.
Oh, right. Lord. All right. Well, Sid, by the way, the townhouse from hell is being turned into someone's heaven.
Jeffrey Epstein?
Yes. Dead pedo, Jeffrey Epstein's Upper East Side mansion is off the market. 28,000 square feet. The sicko funhouse sold for $51 million. The proceeds are going to the victim compensation fund. The women that were tormented by this man.
Yes.
If the deal goes through, it's going to be one of the most expensive sales in Manhattan in the last year. And it's no word who the buyer is, though.
Yeah, but that's a really good price for that place.
I
think it's worth close to like $75 million.
You could probably do tours and things like that.
Right. That would be so sick.
Here's the bedroom where Jeffrey Epstein did this. I mean, who wants to see that?
Here's the Bill Clinton picture, you know.
Exactly.
God, here's where you could see where the video cameras were.
Oh, boy.
Gross.
All right. All right. What else is happening before we get out of here and start the weekend, Juliet?
Well, a stunning discovery in China. The fossilized remains of a dinosaur nesting over 24 eggs, some of which contain the skeletons of the unhatched babes. This is an amazing find. It was nestled in a 70-million-year-old rock that was excavated near a train station in China. It's the world's first dinosaur. The dinosaur is an oviraptor that lives between 130 and 66 million years ago during the Cretaceous period. Remember it well. Scientists say it's significant because it rules out the possibility that the adult died while laying its eggs. Instead, it turns out that these oviraptors incubated their nests like modern bird cousins instead of guarding them like a crocodile.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. On that note, have a great weekend, everybody.
Have fun in AC.
I will send you a postcard.
Yeah.
And next time you'll have to join us.
I really would like to next time.
We will be back Monday morning from 5 a.m. to 6:30. Stay tuned to the Bernie and Sid show. Ted Nugent will be here. Greg Kelly will be here. And my friend, the lovely and talented Lauren Conlin will be
here. She's great. Have a wonderful weekend, guys.
Thank you. Here's traffic with Joe Nolan.